Friends, my name is Kevin Keehan.
We're involved in a series of lessons in and around our worship. We've identified that without question, God wants us to worship, and that in our worship setting, that God has defined exactly how He commands mankind to worship. In fact, we learned in the book of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a lesson that centered in and around our singing as we assemble together, and that we must make certain that as we're singing, that we are singing a cappella music, that it does not have the accompaniment of instrumental music. And the reason for that is because God does not authorize the use of mechanical instrumental music in worship. And then in like figure, that we need to make certain that the songs that we are singing, that they are indeed in harmony with the words of Christ, that they are scriptural songs, and that then as we are singing these songs, that we make certain that we are singing from the heart, that we are pouring our heart, soul, and mind into worshiping and praising God. Good people, today what I want us to do is I want us to look at a lesson that I have centered in and around the Lord's Supper. When we think in regard to the Lord's Supper, it is indeed a very vital part of why we come together. In all of this, though, we understand that in the religious world there's mass confusion in regard to the Lord's Supper. In fact, as a result of that, many people do not partake of the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis. And then in like figure, on top of all of this, they do not understand the proper thought as well as the elements that we must use whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper. And for this reason, I want us today to be able to look at the Lord's Supper and how all of these came to be, and then in like figure, how all that we need to focus upon whenever we assemble ourselves together around the Lord's table with the partaking of the emblems. What we think in regard to the institution of the Lord's Supper, first off, I want to bring our minds back to the Old Testament when God had instituted the Passover amongst the children of Israel. God had delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and in delivering these people out, He now commands them to observe the Passover. In this, they were to remember on an annual basis exactly what it is that God had done for them in saving them and delivering them and setting them free and then bringing them to the land flowing with milk and honey. Good people, we also understand whenever Jesus Christ lived here upon the face of the earth that Jesus understood the importance of partaking of the Passover. In fact, in the book of Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, we have defined there that Jesus, in preparation for the Passover, He had sent Peter and John to secure a place. Jesus wanted to make certain that He, as well as those in His company, were going to be able to partake of the Feast of Passover whenever the time came forth. Good people, we understand in the context of what is presented in the book of Mark chapter 14, verse 25 and following, that Jesus partook of this great and glorious feast with His apostles. And partaking, we can deduce that certainly they followed in compliance to the Scripture that was required during the Passover. Also, we understand, though, during the midst of all this, that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. In the book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, Jesus told the apostles in the midst of their partaking of the Passover that they were to partake of the unleavened bread, and that this was symbolism, that this symbolic of His broken body that was being offered at Calvary's cross for their sins. But then also in like figure, they were commanded to partake of the fruit of the vine, which was to represent His shed blood. And good people, in the context of all these things too, we understand that Jesus instituted and identified exactly what it was that they were to do. And then in like figure, God commanded through this instance the frequency and everything that we need to understand concerning the Lord's Supper. Whenever we think in regard to the first century church, good people, we understand as we baptize people into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, according to what we find in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, we are to teach them to observe all things that God has commanded us. And Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world or the end of the age." We need to make certain that whenever people are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that they come to an understanding of everything that God commands His people to do. That is, that they need to understand the walk that God commands of us as we go in and throughout the course of life. But good people, also, whenever we come together for the purpose of worshiping and praising our God, a very vital part of what we need to teach New Testament Christians is that each Lord's Day we need to partake of the Lord's Supper. Why do I state that? Good people, in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 through 42, we understand there at the day of Pentecost, the day that the church was established, that these people, in their hearing the message about Jesus, became pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" As a result of their inquiry, and as a result of what it is that they wanted to do in order to be right with God, Peter says, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As a result of all this, according to what we find in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, that day about 3,000 souls were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Good people, what is it that they did? Having been baptized into Christ, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of the bread. That article is important there because it helps us to understand that which is under consideration is the Lord's Supper. These people understood that they were to partake of the Lord's Supper. How often were they to partake of the Lord's Supper? According to what we find in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, every first day of the week. These New Testament Christians had been taught the importance of taking of the Lord's Supper, but not only of partaking of the Lord's Supper, but that in partaking the Lord's Supper, that they were to partake every first day of the week. We also understand, as is taught in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20, 23 through 29, we have identified there that the Apostle Paul is speaking to the saints at Corinth, and in his message, he commands these individuals not only to partake, but good people, he defines exactly the manner in which they were to observe as they were partaking of the Lord's Supper. For what purpose do we partake of the Lord's Supper? What is it that we do? What is it that we should think about as we are partaking? Good people, you and I need to make certain that we understand that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are giving thanks unto God. In the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17, we are taught that every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above. God is responsible for everything that you and I have here in this world. And more specifically, God is responsible for the salvation that you and I are able to enjoy. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we understand that we are not strangers, but rather we are fellow citizens in Jesus Christ. And because of that, according to what the Apostle Paul taught to the saints at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and following, we as citizens, we are blessed immensely in Jesus Christ. In fact, all spiritual blessings come forth because of our relationship with Christ. And therefore, whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we eat of the unleavened bread, as we drink from the fruit of the vine, good people, you and I need to make certain that we are understanding the blessings that God has provided for each and every one of us. But then in like figure, God wants us to understand that as we partake, it is a time of fellowship. In the book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, Jesus said that He would not partake of that feast with the apostles again. In the context, I believe He's not only talking about the Passover, but He's also speaking about that which He has instituted. He was not going to partake of it again until the kingdom had come. When you and I partake of the Lord's Supper, in a special sense, you and I are in fellowship with Jesus Christ. We are communing. And as we are communing, we are identifying the fellowship that we share with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then in like figure, the Bible bears out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, that we are demonstrating a form of fellowship with one another. As we partake, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are sharing in a common goal, a common fellowship that God wants us to partake of here at the congregation in East End. But not only here, brethren, as we partake each Lord's Day, we are demonstrating the fellowship that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ universally with our other faithful congregations here in Warren County, with our other faithful brethren in and throughout the United States as well as universally. We are in fellowship with others whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper. But also God wants us to understand that it is indeed a time of reflection. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, Jesus said, as we partake of the unleavened bread, that we are to remember Him. As we partake also of the fruit of the vine, that we are to remember the blood that was shed for each and every one of us. In fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, the Apostle Paul says that as we are communing, that we need to center our minds to think back to the cross. And in thinking back to the cross, to understand the cruel things that Jesus went through on our behalf. As He was beaten, as He was mistreated, as they spoke illy to Him, as they placed that crown of thorns upon His head, He suffered these things for you and for me. And we need to reflect and to remember all that He physically went through, even to the point of shedding His personal blood. He gave Himself at Calvary's cross. And God wants us each Lord's Day to make certain that we reflect upon these things. But also we need to understand that as we partake, it is a time of anticipation. The Bible clearly says that Jesus died at Calvary's cross. But good people, the Bible also assures us, God wants man to understand that that's not it. He was also raised from the grave by the glory of our God. And as a result of this, He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But yet the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is coming again. In fact, in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 4, Jesus says that if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know, Jesus is coming again. And according to what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 and 28, as we partake, we proclaim the Lord's death. It is a proclamation amongst us, as well as a proclamation to those who are not amongst us, that we believe not only in Jesus, but good people, that Jesus Christ is coming again. Each time that we partake, let us understand that it is indeed a time of thanksgiving, a time of fellowship, and a time that we must reflect. But also let us consider the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. And as we partake, let us be reminded of these things. But also regarding the frequency, how often should we partake? Good people, the Bible says that we must partake of the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day. The denominational world is very confused in regard to the partaking of the Lord's emblems, to where some of them never partake and some of them take on an annual basis, and others will take at the holidays, meaning around Christmas time or Easter, and others then will partake at weddings and funerals and things of that nature. Let me assure you today that the Bible does not give any authorization for the partaking of the Lord's Supper on special occasions. Why? Because every Sunday is the special occasion that God has commanded and commissioned. Somebody says, Kevin, what is the Lord's Day? According to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, John was in the kingdom in the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day, good people, is indeed the first day of the week. In fact, we understand in the book of John chapter 20 and verse 19 that the apostles understood the importance of coming together upon the first day of the week immediately following Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We understand, according to what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 33, that as the church was coming together at Corinth, that these Christians understood that they were indeed to partake of the Lord's Supper. Somebody says, Kevin, how does all that fit into the frequency in regard to how often we must partake of the Lord's Supper? Yes, they were coming together, but yet at the same time, the Bible is not defined there in the context as to how often they were doing that. Good people, that's correct. And that's why we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Paul says to the saints there, He says, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by in store. Somebody says, Kevin, what does that have to do with it? Good people, this helps us to understand the order of things that the church was doing whenever they came together every first day of the week. Somebody says, Kevin, how do we know that it's every first day of the week? In the Greek context, it bears out that every first day of the week, the saints were commanded to give back. It was something that they were constantly doing every Lord's Day. Also, though, we need to understand what is taught in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul remained behind in Troas to partake of the Lord's Supper. Why? Because it was the first day of the week, and the disciples were coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper. How often were they coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper? Good people, they were doing this every first day of the week. And if they were doing it every first day of the week, then in like figure, you and I must do it every first day of the week. Each week has a first day to it. And each first day of the week is the Lord's day. And for that reason, each time that we come together, we need to make certain that as we come together on the Lord's day, that we offer the emblems, and that as Christians, we partake of these emblems. Some people will say, well, Kevin, what about daily? Can't we partake of the Lord's Supper daily? Believe it or not, there was a quote-unquote Church of Christ preacher that I spoke with in Pennsylvania a few years ago who said, well, the Bible does say that as oft as you eat and drink, you do proclaim the Lord's death till you come. And I said, well, what do you mean, as oft as you eat? And he says, well, that gives us authorization to where we can partake any day of the week. In fact, he helped his argument with Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, where we read a few moments ago, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of the bread in verse 46. And it says that they met daily from house to house, and they were in fellowship with one another there, and they were breaking bread. Good people, understand that breaking bread in verse 46 is not the same as what's found in verse 42. Why? Because the article is not there. In verse 42, they were partaking of the Lord's Supper, and in verse 46, they were partaking of a meal with one another. There is a very stark, a very distinct difference between the two. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are partaking in a memorial sense of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat a meal, as what we're going to do over here in the fellowship following our AM worship, we are consuming a meal with one another. It's not the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's Supper. And God wants us to understand that the only day that we are authorized to offer the Lord's Supper is upon the first day of the week. Every first day of the week. Somebody says, oh, Kevin, how many times should we offer the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week? I believe that we can draw from the Passover and what is identified there concerning the Passover, because the Lord's Supper grew out of the Passover. And what do we learn in Numbers chapter 9, verses 4 through 11? The Passover was to be partaken of in the 14th day of the first month. However, if an individual was hindered having come in contact with a dead corpse, or if they had been out on a long journey and were not able to partake, there was a provision set aside wherein that they could partake the second month on the 14th day. In like figure, on the first day of the week, we are commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. And good people, if there are those who are providentially hindered, meaning that they are not able to be here, they are sick, they are ill, they're in the hospital, or other such settings, maybe they're at work, and yet at the same time they're able to get out and about and to be able to be back here on Sunday nights, they still have the right, as well as the commandment is still given, that they should partake of the Lord's Supper. And as a result of that, we are right in offering them the Lord's Supper, and to them alone. There's no authorization. There's no commandment that all of us should have to partake again. And somebody says, Kevin, are you not trying to be legalistic in presenting that? Absolutely not. I'm trying to be biblical. There's no reference given in Scripture that would indicate a two-time taking on the Lord's Day, but rather that we are commanded to partake, and in partaking as we partake and having partaken, then that we have committed and we have fulfilled our commandment, the commandment that God has given to each and every one of us. We can and we should indeed continue to offer upon the first day of the week to those who are New Testament Christians with opportunities, with the opportunities that they need and have. Also, we need to consider the approach. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, well, you and I need to make certain that we examine ourselves. on a daily basis, the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 that we need to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are indeed in the faith. We need to examine ourselves to make certain that we are indeed children of God, but also in like figure, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, we are to examine ourselves. We need to look to ourselves and to say, am I indeed living as what God commands me to live? Am I pleasing and acceptable to God? And in like figure, then, as we are partaking, is my mind set to where it needs to be set? Am I thinking upon the death of Christ and upon what it is that God wants me to think about as we partake? But then also we need to make certain that as we partake that we do not have animosity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through chapter 11, we find is that the church at Corinth was divided time and time again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 16 through 34, we have portrayed here that the church at Corinth was divided. They had come together. Many scholars contend for an agape feast, which was similar to what we have as a fellowship meal. As they came together, the Bible tells us that they came, some of them, and others were coming, but yet at the same time they were slow about getting there. As a result of this, then, we understand is that some ate and others were not able to eat whenever they got there. And it was time for them to begin with a service. The Bible also tells us that those who were able to eat, that they were filled. They were full. They had eaten. They had their belly full. However, those who had not eaten, they were hungry. And now, as they are partaking the Lord's Supper, they have all of this animosity toward one another. They could not understand why their brothers and sisters, in coming together, would not wait on them to partake of the agape feast, the fellowship meal, together. And for that reason, as they are partaking of the Lord's Supper, they're thinking about all of these evil things and evil thoughts about their brethren, and they're not able to partake of the Lord's Supper in the proper manner. And the Apostle Paul says, what shall we say then? Verse 23, shall we praise you for this? We praise you not. Have you not houses to eat and drink in, and despise you, the church of God, and shame those who have nothing? Those in the anti-church go to this verse and say that we do not have the authorization to have a fellowship meal like what we're going to eat over here in the annex. They say, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Good people, that's not what he's saying in the context. Understand. These people had hatred towards their brother. And Paul says that you shame them who have nothing. You've already eaten. They have not been able to eat. And he says, you caused a division, another division in the church. And Paul says, I cannot praise you for this. I praise you not. And for that reason, Paul is identifying. He says, if this is the way you're going to act, if you're going to come and try to partake of the Lord's Supper and have animosity towards your brother, he says, you cannot do that. He says, it's better for you to eat at home rather than come together and cause all of this division. And brethren, whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to make certain that we clear our mind of everything, that we are indeed at peace with one another, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we bring our offering before the altar, as the Lord tells us. We need to make certain that we love one another, as we also love God, and that we do not have hostility and hatred towards our brethren as we partake of the emblems. But then also we understand that we need to prepare ourselves. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says that Paul remained in Troas because the first day of the week was coming when the disciples were coming together to break bread. We partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week is what we are commanded to do. And good people, it is indeed a blessing to be able to be here. It is a blessing to be able to partake as a New Testament Christian, to remember the death of Christ, and to think regarding His broken body that He laid down for each and every one of us, and to consider and to be thankful for that shed blood that He shed at Calvary's cross for us. But I ask you today, how soon do we start to prepare our minds for worship, but in the context of our discussion today, for the Lord's Supper? I believe that we ought to prepare our minds as we see the day approaching. You say, Kevin, what are you saying? I think at least by the time that Saturday rolls around, we need to be thinking about the Lord's Day in a very real and big way. And in fact, every day of the week we ought to be thinking about and anticipating and be anxious for and be determined that we're going to be here, but especially by Saturday night. I tell our family, and in fact, I think I've even shared it with the eldership here, that if something happens on Saturday evening or Sunday morning, unless it's a death or something like that, please don't share it with me. Why? Because I've got to stand up and I've got to preach. And I don't want those things on my mind. And I do those things to make certain that I try to rid my mind of any thoughts other than, and that's a challenge, not always able to do, but so that I can focus upon serving the Lord, preaching the Word, and then in partaking of remembering my Lord. And I want to encourage each and every one of us that let us think about the first day of the week. Let us think about worshiping God upon that first day of the week, as well as about partaking of the Lord's Supper long before we ever get here, so that when we partake, we can partake in a right and worthy manner that would be pleasing and acceptable to our God.